it only affects you if you have opiates in the system. You know, if somebody doesn't have opiates in their system and they take Narcan, all it's going to...
I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM. Listener-aided and abetted radio.
Hi, I'm Al Criazzo from Catskill Mountain Housing. You're listening to WGXC, Agra, Catskill, and Hudson.
Hi, this is Michael Wilde inviting you to Mostly Singles. And if you like what you're hearing, you'll love this show. Rarefied music, premieres, and guests. It's different every time. And a podcast, too. Go to WGXC.org. Mostly Singles, every fourth Tuesday at 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Appreciate about WGXC? What shows really light you up? Which programmers do you connect to? Call us at 518-622-2598 extension 4 and leave us a message. Or email us at feedback@wgxc.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of the Rodney Shop of Lees, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 2nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 52 degrees in Medusa to 60 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 53 degrees. Pollen levels will be high today but should drop to medium levels for the weekend. Looks like rain could be about early this morning and this afternoon, starting around 4 p.m. A high temperature of 80 degrees will linger most of the afternoon. Overnight should be dry. We get a low of 59 degrees. Saturday will be rainy all day, especially in the afternoon. A high of 75 happens at 1 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 56 degrees. Sunday, more rain all day long. Chance for some lightning in the afternoon. Monday, rain keeps on rolling. We get a high of 61. Sunset today will be at 7:40 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:46 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 542 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently being impacted on all frequencies with an S4 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 59. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Thursday evening seeking to prohibit federal funding for NPR and PBS, the public broadcasting service. The order, which could be subject to legal challenge, called the broadcasters' news coverage biased and partisan. That from the Washington Post. They report it instructs the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to cease providing direct funds to either broadcaster. It also orders the CPB to cease indirect funding of the services through grants to local public radio and television stations. Next, a 19-year-old New Yorker is one of 237 Venezuelan immigrants sent to an El Salvador supermax prison last month.
Merwell Gutierrez lived in the Bronx with his father Wilmer when he was arrested under suspicion of being in the Tren de Aragua gang, although he has no criminal record in the U.S. U.S. or Venezuela. Since then, his father has been working to get him home. Paz Radovic, with the news outlet Documented, covers the immigrant community in and around New York City. She says the ordeal has damaged Wilmer Gutierrez's faith in the American dream.
He contacted a lot of police stations, and no one was able to give anything about where Mary Wills was. So that silence is what Wilmer resents the most, not just the arrest itself, but the feeling of being left in the dark. And that has made him think about if coming to the U.S. was worth it or not.
Manuel Gutierrez had a pending asylum case in New York City. A 60 Minutes investigation has found 179 of the people deported to El Salvador have no criminal records. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, thousands are expected to rally in Harrisburg Monday for a Raise the Wage and Immigrant Rights Day of Action. Our Daniel Smith has more.
More than 47,000 Pennsylvania workers earn the minimum wage of $7.25 an hour or less. Jared Smith with Service Employees International Union says Pennsylvania hasn't raised its minimum wage in over 15 years, while more than 30 other states and Washington, D.C. have all moved towards $15 an hour. Smith says this makes it harder for the state to stay competitive.
We are demanding that we raise the wage in Pennsylvania to $15 an hour, that we include a cost of living adjustment so that we don't have to keep coming back year after year.
Smith says a coalition, Pennsylvania Stands Up, is leading the protests backed by labor and community groups and some lawmakers.
GOP lawmakers have recently introduced the Food Security Farm Protection Act. It's an attempt to repeal California's landmark animal welfare law known as Proposition 12, which makes minimum space requirements for breeding pigs, egg-laying hens, and veal calves, and bans the sale of meat raised in non-compliant settings. Rebecca Wolf is with the nonprofit Food and Water Watch.
This has been the Big Ag playbook for quite a while. Big Ag doesn't want to be told what to do by states, and so it puts Republicans in a really interesting position that fits them kind of between Big Ag and more of a states' rights framework.
This story was produced with original reporting from Seth Milstein for Sentient. This is Public News Service. A Minnesota proposal is in the works that supporters say would end forced labor in correctional facilities. They note the 13th Amendment was adopted nearly 160 years ago, but they believe a form of slavery is still present in America's prisons.
Advocacy groups point to wording in the Minnesota Constitution that there should be no slavery in the state, with exceptions for punishment for a crime. They say incarcerated people are exploited by having to work for 50 cents an hour, providing them little money to pay victims back, support their families, or have resources to rebuild their lives post-release. Aaron Ernst, who served time in Minnesota, says this overshadows other reforms.
You know, the rehabilitation part is kind of there, and then the reconnection to the community is just non-existent.
The End Slavery in Minnesota Coalition is working with lawmakers on a bill for next year's session to classify these individuals as legal workers with specific rights. I'm Mike Moen.
And Montana's wildlife risk is now 74% higher than other states. Experts encourage Montanans to think ahead on Wildlife Community Preparedness Day, May 3rd.
When wildfires ignite homes, an ember or small flame is usually to blame, according to the National Fire Protection Association. That means prep work in the immediate zone or the 5 feet surrounding a home is effective. Chief Engineer Ann Cope with the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety says that zone is critical because that's where wind eddies deposit embers and where flammable materials, including mulch, bushes, and stacked firewood, tend to be.
When you bring those two things together, boom, that's where that teeny little fire is going to start that you could have just stomped out with your boot. That is sadly what's going to take down a house.
Cleaning roofs and gutters, installing metal mesh screening over open vents, repairing damaged shingles and window screens, and removing items stored under porches are simple ways to prepare for wildfire season. I'm Kathleen Shannon.
Finally, peak bird migration is underway in Indiana. Rare species are moving through parks, forests, and backyards across the state, and more Hoosiers are watching.
Indiana lies along a major migratory flyway. Experts say it's one of the best states to spot birds in spring. Marion University biology professor David Benson is one of the world's top birders. He says the hobby helps people understand what birds need to survive.
If you're interested in a particular bird species, you need to know what habitat they live. We need to protect some of these different habitats. Some of the birds that are declining the most here in Indiana are the prairie species.
Up to 150 species can pass through in a single day. Top viewing spots include Eagle Creek Park, Fort Harrison, and southern Indiana's deep forest ravines. This story was produced with original reporting from Enrique Sines for Mirror Indy. I'm Joe Ellery reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to the WGXC Afternoon Show. I'm Lucy, your first Friday host. I will be live in the Catskills studio on the first Friday of every month from 5 to 6, chatting with interesting folks from around the area. I'm all set up in the window of 393 Main Street here in Catskill, so wander by and give us a wave if you're around. Joining me in the studio today is Aaron Dyer, an incredibly prolific musician and composer. Hello, Aaron. Welcome.
Hello, Lucy. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I'm so happy that you're here. This is going to be a good one. We're going to talk about lyrics today, music lyrics. I'm so excited. But first, let's get some details, some facts out of the way before we jump in.
Yeah,
you have a show coming up.
I do, yes.
Which is actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow night in New York City.
The Brick Ballroom in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Long Play Festival, which is organized by Bang on a Can. The festival starts today and runs through Sunday. But you will be playing tomorrow with your longtime musical collaborator, Aaron Sanchez.
That's right.
Aaron Squared. The
and
two Aarons.
With Buke and Gase. Yes.
And you estimate you go on about 10 p.m. tomorrow.
That's right. Yes.
So if you're in the area or willing to travel to see the amazing Buke and Gase, get to Brooklyn. If the people want to find out more, if our listeners want to find out more, where can they find you?
BukenGase.com.
.com.
Yep. We're all over the place. I don't know. It's pretty. BukenGase.com.
Yay.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of links. You can find up stuff. That's called research.
The Instagrams.
Yes.
The Face magazines.
Yes. All the stuff. If you have a computer.
You'll figure it out.
And if you don't, you probably know one of us. And you're like, what are you doing later? And we'll be like, we're going to go to the city.
And do a show.
And we're going to play. Yep.
So can you give our listeners, in case they're not familiar with Buke and Gase, can you give us a little background?
No.
No.
Oh, just kidding. Yes. Yes,
fine,
I can.
Fine, I'll do it. I'll do my best.
Aaron and I started playing music together actually in 2000, not as Buke and Gase, but we collaborated for about two or three years or so back in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, somewhere around there. And we were in a band called Hominid with two other players. And then we had a 4-year hiatus. Ooh. We didn't talk to each other.
Oh.
And then we connected again in 2007, and we started just kind of messing around with our instruments and playing new music and writing new music and having a really good time doing that. And we were playing with a drummer at the time, and the drummer decided they didn't want to be a part of it anymore. So it was just Aaron and I. And we basically just tried to not get another drummer.
Need a drummer. Who needs a drummer?
Yeah, let's do everything ourselves. And that's what we did, and that's kind of what we still do.
Well, good thing you did, because it's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
It's so awesome. So now that that's out of the way, we're going to have some fun. We're
okay.
going to talk about lyrics.
Yeah, we are going to talk about
which
lyrics.
Which is your idea, and I think it's fantastic. I myself am an obsessive consumer of music, but I am not a musician in any way, shape, or form. But as an artist, I understand that music is an art form, and it has its own process and language and techniques and all of these things that I have no idea what's going on. So I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions about the writing of a song in general, and then we're going to dive into some specific songs from Buke and Gase, and we're going to discuss specific lyrics. But I think a lot of my questions have to do with process, because that's in visual arts. That's what I'm most interested in, is process. So I find it interesting, the difference between visual art and music, because in visual art, when you put forth something that you've made, there's an artist statement, there's image descriptions and all of these things. But in music, you create something, same as in visual art or anything else, but then you hand it off with absolutely no description. You're just like, yeah. Do what you will. Yeah.
Good luck interpreting this.
Yes. So as someone who writes lyrics, how important is it to you when you're writing them that the listener fully understand, or are you just hoping they get whatever they get out of it?
I'm definitely hoping for anyone who listens to get whatever they're going to get out of it, because I think lyrics are infinitely interpretable.
Yeah.
And it depends on where you are in your life. It depends on what's going on, who, like, yeah,
so it could even change
with.
For you.
Day from day to day. Yes, it can change for me.
Yes.
Often the songs that I've written do tend to get stuck in a place and time, but they definitely change as we perform them.
Mm-hmm.
They, like the context changes for me. So, yeah.
Yeah. So then how much of it too is, not to take the magic out of it, but how much of it then is kind of happenstance, or this rhymes with this. Well, this sounds good, but what does it mean? Who cares?
Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah.
Like a good chunk of the lyrics for, especially for Buke and Gase, came from my dream diaries, which I kept pretty religiously for many years, and I have sadly fallen out of habit. So they start out as dream diaries, excerpts from these dream diaries.
So
and
it's
then
a visual.
They turn
You're
in,
starting with a visual, or it's really
or
just
description.
The idea? Yeah.
A description. Maybe it's like there's two penguins in this room, and I'm supposed to get one penguin to the other side of the room without
it's a song.
Yeah, and then it starts like, well, maybe it's not penguins, but it's two frogs or something like that. And then
that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's a lot of lyrics, and so oftentimes they won't make any sense if you just read them straight up, but then of course they can become very metaphorical, and especially when I'm working on writing the lyrics, if it starts in one place, it may end up in a very different place that I didn't expect it to, and that's, it's just because of what's happening in my life at the time, mm-hmm. and therefore it just gets into the song.
Yeah, it'll get there
whether
eventually.
I want it to be there
or not. I feel like when I'm listening to a song, yeah, as long as there's one line that is close enough to my life, I'm like, yeah. No, that's it. That's my
it.
Anthem
this is
from
everything.
Now on. Everything else means what I want it to mean. There's that one line. Since you've been writing music for so long, mm-hmm. how does that affect the way that you experience music? So when you're, does it cause you to pick apart other musicians' lyrics, or do you think, can you still experience music the way you would if you were a non-musician, or are you listening like, oh gosh, why did they use that word? Why did they do that?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many musicians or groups or artists that I listen to that I like can deeply relate to whatever they're singing about, and it doesn't matter to me how they put it out there. And oftentimes I fall in love with how it comes out of their world, you know?
Yeah, so you're able
because
to put
it's different
aside.
Than mine. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not so much about I only want to listen to music that I could write myself. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, it's just sometimes when I'm looking at, a piece of artwork, since I make art, it's like, oh, why did they, they left that brushstroke there, or they did this or they did that. But yeah, I guess you can set it aside at times for something that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Definitely.
I'm not sitting there picking apart Picasso. Mm. Oh, that guy.
Oh,
why would he do such a thing?
I don't know about the nose. Why would they have the nose that way?
Are there any musicians that you really, really admire or inspired by their lyrics?
Lyrically?
Yeah. Putting you on the spot.
I was just listening to Shellac of North America on the way here, and I just love how simple and aggressive and painful Steve Albini's lyrics are, and just straightforward.
Yeah.
I really appreciate a straightforward lyric.
Interesting.
Because I have a hard time doing that. Yeah. I have a really hard time being
straightforward.
Not so, a little bit on the sly.
I also love, and this is just, again, a musical layperson, the misunderstood lyrics.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to a Radiohead song last night, Exit Music, and at one point I went, did he just say he has a bag of sandwiches? Knowing Tom York, maybe that's what he said. I don't know. I'm sure he has a little bag of sandwiches. But yeah, I love
sandwiches.
I love that. All right, so shall we listen to a song?
Yeah, let's get into it. What are you going to
do? Oh, I did have another question before we go in, just about writing lyrics. So when you're, you know, when you're putting music and lyrics together, does one naturally come first, or is it always differently? It's always like you might have a lyric and then you figure out music, or you might have music and then figure out a lyric, or is it simultaneous?
It's mostly simultaneous. Mm-hmm. A lot of it, especially with Beacon Gaze, again, it's all syllabic.
Mm-hmm.
It can oftentimes, especially when Aaron and I started working more improvisationally, it just came out as babble,
yeah,
gobbledygook. And certain syllables would hit and feel like the right thing that needed to be there, or vowel sounds, mm-hmm. or, and so what would happen is something might sound kind of like a word, and I'll put what the word might be, and then it'll start to fashion itself that way. And it's not, and that way there's, Aaron and I really liked working that way because there was less ownership.
Yeah.
And I liked starting to work that way because of that lack of ownership of the lyrics that just came out subconsciously,
mm-hmm.
and less me trying to make it be a thing,
okay.
and make it be a concept. A concept would sort of come out of that gobbledygook,
yeah.
and then form meaning. So very much simultaneous, especially in our later albums, and towards the, I guess, General Dome. So we have, I don't know how many albums we have. We have Plus or Minus. We have Riposte, General Dome, Function Falls, Scholars, and so a bunch of other stuff. And like towards the end, Function Falls, Scholars, it becomes more, not even metaphorical, but dreamy.
Yeah.
The way that the lyrics and the subjects kind of come out of them. I don't know.
It kind of reminds me, I mean, the way that you're talking about it, it's kind of like sculpting. Everything for me is visual. So it's kind of like you're shaving a little off there and looking at it, and shaving a little bit more off and adding a little something.
Yeah.
That's sonically really interesting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tweak this, fix that, add that.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we are going to jump into a song here. The first song we're going to listen to is called Split Like a Lip, No Blood on the Beard. And it's from an album called General Dome. But this version that we're going to listen to is actually from the documentary, the soundtrack for the documentary that came out,
mm-hmm.
Beacon Gaze, a documentary. So let's jump into that. So we're going to take a listen. And then when we come back, I am going to say what stuck out to me and how I interpreted it. And then you are going to correct me. So let's
see how this
right
goes.
In.
Do we have any bells and whistles? Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
You're correct.
Boom, boom, boom. All right, here we go. So here we are. Split like a lip. our transitions are so good.
You're back.
There you go.
All right.
We're learning. Okay, I'm learning. all right, first of all, amazing.
Thanks.
The song is amazing. That was Split Like a Lip, No Blood on the Beard by Buke and Gase. And the thing that I love about Buke and Gase, before we get to the lyrics, is just the music to me is so, it's driving, but in its own magical way. And I don't have great music words. Just understand that. But it's driving, but not in a way that like metal is. It's raw, but not like in a punk way. I just can't, I don't, like I said, it's polished, but not poppy. And then your voice comes along and cuts through it in a way that's crisp and clean, but not abrasive or distracting. I don't, it's just such a, it's such a unique sound that I just, you just don't hear anywhere else. There's not even words. There's no words to describe it. And I love it.
Thank you.
But anyway, back to the lyrics. Let's see how this goes. So don't shame me if I'm so far off.
No.
The very first line set the tone for me. Someone went and handled her with too tight a grip. So right off the bat, I know it's about freedom. So something is, yes, something is about freedom.
Yeah.
Spitting all the pulp from her squeezed out little lime. So from that, I'm taking it, the not the freedom, but maybe the time and the energy was freely handed over, but then taken for granted.
Mm.
So that's where that took me. And then we go to I'm the sum, not a part, not a wheel on a cart. Which I took that to mean that in this whatever relationship, I'm assuming it's a relationship, the person was filling a specific role or need, but yet putting in all the time and the effort thinking that it was a whole. Well, your face is telling me
that
my ability to interpret poetry is not.
You're doing fantastic.
On the up and up.
You're doing great.
Let's see what else I thought. Oh, well, so okay. So then let's jump to, there's another lyric that I loved that's not a fix in a pinch. I'm my own ride.
Gosh.
I love that because I feel like that's the part of the song where, you know, you're feeling crappy about whatever this relationship is. It's not going right. The other person's mean. You don't like it. But then all of a sudden it's like, oh, aha, wait, I'm fine by myself. Mm-hmm. I belong on my own. That's another lyric. Yeah. Okay, now you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good gist.
Yay.
That's a great
Yay.
Gist. It's so like a lot of the lyrics in this or the words in this song are very, it's thematic. So there's a lot of carpenters up here.
And I know you love a carpenter.
I may or may not have been dating one at the time. And you know, when you handle a tool too tightly, you restrict its movement. Yeah. So yeah, freedom and or just, your ability to do the work that you want to do, right?
Okay.
Trying to make the mess of their old wood glue stick.
Oh,
that was the thing.
I was so confused about the wood glue.
So wood glue.
There we go.
Carpenter.
Oh.
It seems like the pressure brought her weight down. So that means like, it just, I mean, that's to me is just, you're making someone feel small.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
that's a bit of a feminism.
Mm-hmm.
I
guess that's
where there.
I was getting to the feminism part, where it's, you know, your hand, like I said, you're handing over your time freely, but yeah, then realizing it was taken for granted, and now you're taking your power back.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or yeah, maybe, or just. Yeah, maybe not even taken for granted, but just controlled.
Yeah.
Over-controlled.
Over-controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and spitting all the pulp up from her squeezed out little lime. To me, That was like, I don't know why I somehow equated being female with the citrus. I don't know why. I can't get that image of like a lemon or a lime being a feminine kind of, or maybe a, what's the word? It's like a stereotype of a woman is like, she's a lemon.
Oh.
Or she's a lime. She's like, she's tart or she's, and for wanting to be free, for wanting to not be controlled, she's like,
too much.
Too
darn.
Too citrusy.
Much.
Too citrus. So
I can see that. I love that.
Spinning
love
all
that
the pulp
visual.
From her squeezed out little lime, she's like getting squeezed too tightly, and she's just like, God, I can't deal with this
I'm
anymore.
Just a lime. Just let me be a lime.
Let me be a lime. I'm juicy.
In all the tart. Maybe I should not interpret these anymore. That was embarrassing.
What? No, that was great.
Actually, like the next song that we have coming up anyway, I could not find the lyrics because, as you told me before we went live, this song is actually unreleased.
Yeah.
So the lyrics were not in existence. So maybe that's better.
I guess technically it is released since it's on the album, the new album.
True.
The documentary album.
Yes.
Because we did perform it there, and it will be on a future release.
Okay. And it's literally one of the best songs I've ever listened to.
Well, that's exciting.
I love it. Yeah, it really is. I'm not, for now, for today.
Let's play it. Let's go.
So this is Potion off of the soundtrack for the documentary Buke and Gase, a documentary. So let's go to my transitions here.
you're back.
Yay. That was a pretty smooth transition.
That was a very smooth transition. That was good. Good job. Good job.
All right. So that was Potion from the soundtrack to the documentary, Buke and Gase, a documentary. As I said earlier, I couldn't find the lyrics. You did show them to me before, but I couldn't find them. So I just went on what I heard, and now I'm embarrassed to say.
Why?
It's going to be wrong.
Oh, so you might be disappointed in how I like talk about this song anyway.
It's so good. So basically, you're still in love with me over and over and over again. And the music is so low. It just had this feeling of being like low to the ground. Your voice is a little bit lower. Your voice can go very high, and this seemed a lot lower. Like I said, the music was just felt low to the ground to me. I don't know how else to describe it. Mm-hmm. Everything's visual. So to me, it seemed like a gotcha song. That's what I took from it. It was like, yeah, I knew it. You're still in love with me. I got you. I see you. Yeah, that's my interpretation.
And go.
Go. Okay. Your turn.
So this song, yeah, the music. So this is this latest album that's going to be coming out is very much a different type of collaboration for Aaron and I, where he made most of the music. I think I helped with some things here and there as far as arranging. I don't remember, honestly, but I did write lyrics, and I wrote lyrics with a different intention, with a very pop. I tried to get pop.
Oh.
I tried to simplify. I tried to be really straightforward. So, yeah, I guess you're still in love with me.
All right, but, well, I don't know. So is that
his? So this song, this particular song, yeah, it does sound really low to the ground, and it's made me think of a desert. It made me feel dry and, like, kind of like snakes. Made me think of snakes.
Snakes.
Yeah. And somewhere off in the desert of your gaze, which to me is just like someone who's just like, let me see. What's a good way to put this?
That's right for public radio.
That's correct. In the desert of your gaze. That you don't like, well, so the character who's singing, see, I'm not necessarily saying that this is me or from my perspective, mm-hmm. but if I put myself into the shoes of a person in this position, I'd be like, this person who I'm directing this conversation to is dull. You're all dull. Anyways, dull and like just trying to win this character over in all the different ways. Mixing mystic endeavors, a little bitter for emotion, just like just trying to get attention in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And try to distract me by your sweetest surprise as I guzzle up your potion, which is like, you know, it could sound one way.
It could sound one way.
It could, but it's more about, it's more about deception.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
And, you know, like you're being really sweet right now. Mm-hmm. And this character that, yeah. So the one character is being really sweet, and then the person who's talking is like,
I see it. I see it.
I'll take that sweet stuff. But it's a distraction, that's all.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well,
yep.
I loved it.
All right.
I
thanks.
Loved it.
Glad you liked that song.
Yeah. There's so good.
More on that album. I can't wait for them to come out. It's a country album.
You should totally do a country album. All right, our next song is called Wrong Side. Ooh. From the album Scholars. Let's take a smooth transition into that.
Good luck.
Good luck. Don't say that. Thank you.
just right for me. Wrong side, you say. Your side, right way. My
Okay, there is a line in this song which I'm obsessed with, and it probably does not mean what I think it means. Now I know that everything I thought was wrong, on the wrong side, off the album Scholars.
Let's hear it.
Okay, no, but I have to start at the beginning first because the line that I like is all the way at the end.
Okay.
This song reminded me a lot of Split Like a Lip, what I took from it. You know, I felt, again, like it was about freedom. Getting back to yourself, knowing your value, regardless of what other people think. But it did seem a lot darker from the start. It was a little on the dark side. Wrong side of the knife. I have rights to claim. Seemed pretty dark. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the line, but my feet walk for me, my mouth sings the way my heart wrote for me, and you're too right to see. The right is wrong for me. So I love that. I mean, that was my interpretation of it. But the lyric that I love, which, again, as I told you, I am not a musician. So I tend to pick one line and something that really speaks to me, and then I just forget the rest. So even though I kept being like, the whole beginning is dark, but let's just ignore that. I forget your skin and what sounds you like. So to me, I don't have a clue what that means, but I feel like it's a great lyric because I know that I don't know what you're talking about, but at the same time, I feel like I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And what I took from it was, first of all, this is going to be probably so wildly off base. Do people have favorite sounds? Like, I don't know, but I assume if you're a musician, you probably do. So I saw it as meaning like those little things that you know about somebody when you love them. So it's the things that you remember and like the little quirks that you only really notice if you love somebody. So, like, you know, their favorite animal. Like, what adult has a favorite animal? But, like, you would know that and cherish that knowledge mm-hmm. if it was somebody that you loved, and now you're forgetting that. You know, something as intimate as knowing somebody's skin and then those little tiny things like their favorite sound that now, you know, is leaving you. Mm-hmm. So, again, I really connected with that. But, yeah, that's probably wrong.
No, it's
now you go.
Here's it. Now you go. So you're not wrong,
oh,
but you're not right.
Oh.
So what's kind of tricky about this song is that For me personally, it's two different songs.
Okay.
And it's pretty sonically different. In the first, the majority of the song is Wrong Side, and it is very much a feminist anthem.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a general thing. Wrong Side of, like, of just being wrong.
Yeah.
As a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wrong side of the rape.
Yeah.
And then the following line is wrong side of the weight. I was thinking when I wrote that, that was very much about waiting for judgment, waiting mm-hmm. for recognition, waiting to be heard, waiting to be understood
yeah.
about something like being assaulted
yeah.
or.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very. Very straightforward for me.
Very dark.
Very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrong side of the knife. People, women are getting plastic surgery left and right to look a particular way. And I feel like it's not for me. I guess it's for a lot of other people.
Yeah, but
it is a societal.
Yeah. A darned if you do, darned if you mm-hmm, don't situation mm-hmm. for women.
Yeah. So, and then it's also trans anthem, like wrong, it's right side of the wide range of ways to be.
No.
Right for my body, right, just right for me, you know. And I want, like, I think when I was writing this, I was also thinking about how a lot of my lyrics are very, I don't know, it's emotionality or love interest or this kind of stuff. And because it's easy to relay that kind of thought process.
And it's easy to assume. I mean, that's
easy
what I
to
assumed
assume.
About
you
every
assumed,
single
yeah, yeah,
one.
That this was about love and about, like, a relationship, but this is much more, I wanted it to be much more about women's rights, trans rights, like, just the right to be in your body the way that you want to be and feel solid in that, you know, and not have other people telling you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
So that's, your right is wrong for me. Sure, you can be right, but, like, that's, I mean, for me, religion, it's like, okay, you can be religious, but please don't put that in my face.
Yeah.
It's not for me. And I'm not trying to make you, you know, lose your faith. Just go do that over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the thing about feminism that I think people forget at times is that it's about choices.
Sure. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what your choice is.
Right.
I
exactly.
should be able to make that choice.
Right. Exactly.
It's about the choice, not which choice you mm. choose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the second portion of the song, which starts with lost for days in this hollow resolve.
I can't believe I made it so cute.
It's so dark. But this is
like,
very
how
straightforward.
Adorable.
Yeah. Oh, and it's transitioned with this portion of where I repeat bright side of the moon, which, if you know Pink Floyd, they have dark side of the moon. So that's a little kitschy reference to that, but being the other side of the moon, which is mm-hmm. like, this is a brighter thing, and I want to shedding light on the moon. Anyways, on these things. So lost for days in this hollow resolve, I forget your skin and what sounds you like. That is very specifically about sex.
Oh my God.
I forget
and
I
made it about your favorite animal. I swear I'm smart.
Oh, come on now. It's not about intelligence. It's how you want to make it feel for yourself. Again, it's
so
your choice.
Deep, right? Yeah, exactly.
It's your choice.
It's your feminist choice to not think any deeper than the surface or about animals.
Woo! Exciting. And then I forget I willed your absence to face mine. So
yeah,
I was very clearly
dismissed that line.
Yeah, yeah. So that just, to me, I wasn't present in this relationship, and I basically sabotaged it.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Willed your absence to face mine. And, you know, I'm in the process of grieving it, basically. Lost for days in this hall of resolve. I made that decision. All right, that was fun.
That was fun. That was a good one.
We only have, like, 8 minutes left,
I
right?
Know,
see,
so
I
sad.
Told you we were going to run out of time.
All right, so we actually were going to listen to Hard Times off the album General Dome, but that one is almost 5 minutes
maybe
long.
What we could do but is talk about it ahead of
that
time.
That was gonna be
oh my
idea.
God, we're on the same
so
page.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that very quickly.
Sure.
For about 1 minute.
Okay.
And then we're gonna go out to Hard Times again off the album General Dome, and that's Buke and Gaze. And you will not be hearing from us again tonight or me until
so
next month.
This has been so fun, Lucy. I hope you have me back again.
Yeah, so thank you, Erin, for joining us. Oh, I see people across the street. I know. We are in a window.
What's up, window?
So tell me about Hard Times as quickly as you possibly can.
Oh, my God.
Because I first wanted to give you kudos for working in the words corporeal. And epidermis. So kudos to you on that. That's pretty much where my mind ended.
Thank you so much for my lyrical, acrobatics. So this song actually went through, I can't even... I'm not sure I have all of the pages figured out here, but I wrote lyrics for this. Let's see here. What year was this? So in 2012, between April and August, and I went through so many different iterations of this song, starting with something like searching my memories through when it was defined by something. And it's like, these lyrics are not, none of them were used. And I have like 1, 2, 3, 4. I have like at least 20 pages of different lyrics or different versions of it. And it was one of the harder songs to write because I wanted to use the word love
and not epidermis.
And
epidermis.
And it was requested that I didn't use
really?
The word love because it was too sappy.
Oh.
So the way that I was writing it before, it, like when I used the word love, it was too sappy or too serious. So through that process, I ended up with the lyrics that you hear, which I use the words, much as I can, as much as I could, much as I should, much more than I do, I could pull together, which it should be, I could love you better.
I love that, though.
I know. I love it, too. And I've just started singing it that way. So when you hear me sing it these days, I say I could love you better.
That's good.
Because it makes more sense to
me. I mean,
me.
I understand on the one hand that, you know, the word love can automatically do, you know, pull something, cheapen something maybe.
Cheapen it, yeah.
But not when it's used right. That's so good.
Wow. Thanks.
And also, you have to remember that the people listening to your music sometimes are doofuses like me. And I don't want a metaphor.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, that's beautiful.
So, yeah, it's my biggest regret that I didn't use that line on the recording because I think it just...
Yeah, that's really good.
It just slaps.
Yeah. And then it's clear.
And it's clear what it's talking about. And, yeah, the rest of the lyrics are just so much about skin and... what you look like. No, just the surface of this, it's metaphoric. Obviously.
Yeah.
It's metaphoric of the surface of what you show to someone.
Yeah.
And, another theme in like a theme in this, like that's the theme.
Well, cause I pulled out the lyric, if I could open wide my inner sides, expose the flesh and show what being open really looks like.
Yeah.
And to me, I interpreted that probably wrongly.
No, you didn't.
About when you become vulnerable with somebody, no matter who that is, it's not nearly, you know, it can be ugly.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
That's supposed to bring you to maybe a higher level or a higher plane
of connection, but it's gonna be ugly.
You're not wrong.
Oh my gosh. I win.
You're right.
Yay.
Exactly. And then also, like, I know this is what you see given such a hard time, that I should be so lucky already, such as it could be easy given such a hard time. It's like that you could be lucky to be in a difficult position,
yeah,
in a relationship. Like, and that's the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah.
Connection is difficult.
It is. Sometimes, you know, you're luckier having those tough times and challenges in the relationship or whatever.
Nothing.
Sometimes it might be better than nothing.
You need your downs.
Appreciate you can get the ups.
All right, Erin. I wish we had 5 more hours.
Gosh, me too.
But we have less than 1 minute. So here's a teeny tiny portion of Hard Times with the smoothest transition of all.
Thanks for having me, Lucy. This was really fun.
Wait, here we go. Play. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Here we go.
And now.
And here we go.